Does he care what we wear to work, church? No. And you read this, and Scripture backs it up. Because, see, we know that God looks at the heart. I'm dressed the way I am. You're dressed the way you are. And what we do is, and what the church a lot of times has done, is they've tried to measure somebody by their outward appearance. In other words, they've judged a book by its cover. And every time you do that, whether or not it's through a church situation or whether or not it be in community, you always mess up. It is not the way God looks at people. If we saw people the way God sees them, Jesus sees us and all that, we would be amazed. But remember, he went in and ate with sinners. But the Pharisees, obviously, they didn't like that at all. He needed to sit with the upper class, okay? And we know he didn't do that. So why did he do that? It's because he's modeling for us how we should attack life. We need to obviously reach people. You all have heard my experiences with hospice over the years. I've gone in all areas of the city. I've gone in from the richest here in the city. Many names, y'all would, if I named them, you'd know them because they were well known. To those who obviously had very, very little meager means. And I want to tell you, but I've seen many people who had very little who were so rich in Jesus Christ. That when I walked in and I sat there at the foot of their bed and they were getting ready to leave this earth, I was touched so deeply, I'll never forget it. And I know it was God doing that to me. I've seen that. And so obviously it doesn't mean because obviously you have a lot or you're rich in any way that you can't be rich in Jesus. But it doesn't mean also when you don't have very little that you can't be rich in Jesus. Because really the only thing we're going to take to heaven with us is our relationship with Jesus Christ. We know that. Amen. That's the only relation. That's all we're going to take to heaven. We can't take anybody. I've seen people in coffins. They're laying there, and I've not seen them take any of their money with them. I've not seen them take any of the material possessions they had that they collected while they were on this side. The only thing they take is their relationship with Jesus Christ. So that is most important. And how did Jesus see people? He loved people. He went out of their way to be around people that obviously had been pushed aside by society. Had been looked over. I say this today because a lot of us have certain things, the way we've been brought up or way we've even been, say, for example, way the church has taught and so forth, and the way we see people and what we know. Jesus calls us to love one another. But the only way, and then he calls us to be family. But the only way that we can really be family is if we love one another. If we see people the way Jesus sees them. This particular scripture is talking about that. And the issue is today, all of us are gifted in here. You are gifted, I'm gifted. God's called me in this particular capacity. But man, he's got anointing on all of your lives. Do you believe that? He's got anointing upon every person here. And so even those who, when we leave here and we go home or wherever, if we go over here to place the minister, as Don and Save Savage goes on a regular basis on Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock and so forth, the anointing of God is upon you. And so when you go there and you're celebrating and you're worshiping the Lord, let me tell you, there's a light that's being shined into people's lives that have no hope, that need hope. And so don't ever discount how God has called you because you say, well, I don't have this. Remember in this scripture, it says, well, maybe I'm not a hand, but obviously a hand is needed, an ear is needed, whatever, whoever God has called you to be. You're called to make a difference in society. Y'all can do and go places I can't even go, that I wouldn't go. And y'all can do things that I can't even do. See, in the past, the sort of the traditional structure there, the pastor did this and that. No, you're all ministers. All of us can pray for one another, lay hands upon the sick and cast out demons and preach the gospel. That's what Jesus has called us to do, okay? And all of us have been anointed to do that. And the Bible is real clear about it. And so we need each other is what I'm saying. Let me read a story to you this morning about this. Imagine the master carpenter's tools holding a conference and Brother Hammer presides. But several suggest he leave the meeting because he's too noisy. Brother Hammer replies, if I had to leave this shop, Brother Screwdriver must go also. You have to turn him around again and again to get him to accomplish anything. And Brother Screwdriver speaks up and he says, if you wish, I'll leave. But Brother Plain must leave also. All of his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth. To this, Brother Plain responds, Brother Ruler will also have to withdraw. For he's always measuring folks as though he were the only one who is right. Get the picture? Brother ruler then complains about brother sandpaper. Well, brother sandpaper ought to leave also because he's so rough and he's always rubbing people the wrong way. In the midst of all this discussion, in walks the carpenter of Nazareth. He has arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he goes to the bench to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. He uses Brother Hammer, Brother Screw, Brother Plane, Brother Ruler, Brother Sandpaper, and all the other tools. And after the day's work, when the pulpit is finished, Brother Saul arises and remarks, "Brethren, I observe that all of us are workers together with the Lord." Amen? We're gifted. Man, I'm glad he's gifted us, okay? And sometimes you think, well, I'm not the greatest public speaker, and neither am I. But let me tell you, God, when you step out and you get out of your comfort zone and you begin to minister to people, it will turn you every which way but loose, okay? You want life to get exciting? You begin to witness. You begin to tell other people about Jesus. You begin to step out of that area of comfort because we love our comfort zone. We all do. We have that. Some of y'all more are more extroverts than others. I'm an introvert, okay? So I had to work at it to do it. But I know when I do, let me tell you, it is the most exciting life you could ever have. I love the witness. I love to share about Jesus and other people. I love to pray with people. I love to be able to be positive and encouraging other people. And it encourages me so much. And you know, when you give like that, you get back so much more than you give. But you got to give. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 6, and the measure that you give will be the measure you receive, pressed down and flowing over. And so it's saying here, when you give a little bit and you begin to maybe bless somebody with your life or whatever you're doing, it may be some way you're helping them financial, whatever it may be. Let me tell you, God will bless you to a point to where you're just flowing over with goodness and blessings, okay? Testing, he says there in Malachi and talks about that. And so God is saying to each one of us today is all of y'all are important. When this church, and I mentioned last week, the body of believers, when we're operating the way that the Lord wants us to operate, it's like a fine-tuned machine. You've heard an engine, car engine. Some of you may be mechanics. And you pick up when there's any type of infraction, anything that's going on, the spark plugs are not obviously firing the way they should, whatever. It's like it's us humming together. It's like, man, this is smooth. It's almost like music to your ears when you do that. Well, it's the same way. When the church is operating in the gifts of the Spirit the way God desires for us to operate, let me tell you, it is music to God's ears. Because he says, "This is my body." He looks and he smiles down on us because we are to serve the Lord with gladness. We're to come into his presence with thanksgiving and praise, obviously, and give him glory. And when we do that, what we're saying is expression of where we stand with Jesus. When we get out, you have to do that. I love this time together. It's an hour and a half or maybe a couple hours or more, 2.5 hours. But really where the rubber hits the road is out here. When we leave these four walls, that's when we really get out and to the highways and byways of life and to the marketplace and we speak to other people. Let me tell you, it will touch you. Remember last week I talked about there Leonard Bernstein, a conductor here. And remember what he said? He said, "You know, I've got plenty of first chair violinists, but," he said, "I'm always looking for that second chair violinist, second fiddle." We think I'm a second fiddle. But he says this, "If I don't have a second fiddle," he said, "the whole orchestra is off." So, you know, many of us, we may never see and never get in the limelight, may never be before people and so forth. But you working behind the scenes, even if it's the gift of intercession, when you pray for the church, you pray for revival, you pray for an outpouring of God's Spirit that we're seeing throughout this country today. And I'm asking God, keep it up. In fact, increase it. When you pray like that, you may never be recognized by man. But let me tell you who recognizes you, and that's God Almighty, because you're being obedient to him. And remember, that's the only one we should please anyway. Jesus said, "I only live to please the Father." He didn't live to please man. And, you know, some time ago I gave out a handout. We work so hard at maybe pleasing other people that we obviously don't fulfill what God's called us to do. We're not here to please people in that. I'm not saying to be rude or anything. I'm just saying we are here to please God. When you're pleasing God, other things will come into place. But he has to be first place. And so as a tool that he's using, because obviously here, the diversity of the parts of the body and how God has made each part of the body exactly the way that he desires it to be. And he put each part of the body where he wants it to be. Do you believe that? Do you believe that somehow, you see, the reason why people get down in the dumps is because they believe somehow, they'll never say it, but maybe God made a mistake. I don't have anything to give. But see, God made you and me exactly the way we are. And we've got to grasp that truth, and we have to continue to remind ourselves of that truth, because a lot of time we talk ourselves, we know how negative sometimes we can get. And we get down in the dumps and so forth. And God is saying, you've got to realize, God didn't make a mistake with you. Now, obviously, I've made choices in the past, some good, maybe a lot bad, okay? Maybe we all identify. But God is saying, that's why I sent Jesus Christ to cleanse you. You're under the blood of Jesus. And I want you to know, you are being used. And I want you to be used in my kingdom and building it up and building people up and building the church up today, the body of Christ today. And this is just a small number as far as the body of Christ is. All of the body of Christ. I see the different facets when I went in different homes. I saw people of all backgrounds. And if the cross was central and the resurrection was central in their life, all these things that are non-essentials on the peripheral, I saw. But I want to tell you today, I went, man, you're my family. I said, man, there was a connection made when I walked in the door. They'd say, come on in, preacher, or whatever it may be. But I saw that connection because we're all in the body of Christ. We'll all be together in heaven. We will be there. And you've got to realize until that time, we're to serve the Lord with gladness and we're to praise him. And obviously offer him these things that he has given you, because we don't want to waste our gifts, do we? Nobody in here, if I ask you the question personally, would you want to waste your gift? No, of course not. I want to be used of the Lord. Well, God wants to use you more than you even want to be used. And God is saying today, when you give your life to Jesus, you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lamb. And so he's saying today, he wants to use you in a powerful way. So glad today that when we leave here, we're going to go down and have lunch together, and we're going to have fellowship, which I've told you, I said, I'm blessed when that happens. There's a spirit of love that comes in the place. And I'm like, I leave this place, and I feel like I'm walking on cloud nine. And I'm going, Lord, but see, then y'all will go, many will go over to the bars, and you'll testify, you'll worship, you'll pray, and you'll come together like that, and you'll touch people you never thought you would. Don't ever think it's a waste of time. Don't ever think that maybe, or is anything happening, and maybe it be that you don't always see them, obviously, in the natural of what's happening, but spiritually things are happening, because God Almighty said so. God is saying he's changing things when you're doing that, when you're obedient, when you get out and you do things for the Lord. And it can be behind the scenes, I'm telling you today. It can be that you'll never be seen by man, but you're seen by God. Paul wants these Christians here at the church at Corinth who feel excluded to know that they're valuable members of the body. And any sentiment that implies that they're not is foolishness. You're valuable to the church today. Everybody sitting here today, those who will meet down here in just a few minutes, you're valuable to the church. You've got to realize this today. It doesn't give me reason to boast at all, or you, but we boast in the Lord. But I'm telling you today, you've got to know who you are in Christ. You've got to know his power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is living within you and me as Christians. And he is empowering us to do his will today. He said today, it's expedient that I go back to the Father. He said, until I do that, I can't send the Spirit who will be in you and who will be with you. He knew this, that we needed the power of God. But all of us today are anointed. All of us, the anointing's resting upon you today to be able to get out and do and use the gifts. And you say, but what are my gifts? What are they? And so forth. And certainly there are ways of test and different things and so forth. But I want to just tell you the simple way. I've always been a simple man. And that is, ask God, how you want to use me, Lord? And when you say, Lord, I want to be used of you, because I know I have gifts and I want to be used of you. Would you use me? Let me tell you today, God will use you if you really mean it. God will use you. And when you surrender and you say, Lord, use me for your glory. I don't care what you do with me. I don't care what you do with me. I'll sweep the floors. But I want to be used of you. When you do that, God will have his way in your life. And then he'll begin to show. And so those gifts that he does have will begin to be manifested as you step out and begin to walk by faith. Paul sums up the paragraph by saying, God designed this body. And he's saying today, he designed the church family. That's why today we come as we are. Here we are, man. She showed up. Thank God you showed up. Here I am. And many times in ministry, I'll go, boy, I don't know what to say. I mean, this is really looks like a tough situation I'm walking into or whatever. I don't know what to say. But you know what my philosophy has always been? I guess my belief is I show up. I show up. Here I am. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But I show up. And when you show up, God says, I'll show you what to do. I show up. That's what I do. And I step out like that. Going into a tough situation. Y'all been in tough situations too. Not new to you what I'm saying. But when you show up, God says, I can use you. And I'll use you for my glory and honor. If God thinks enough of you to make you a person who is gifted in a certain way, are you going to refuse to be used? Are you going to say, well, I can't sing, I can't do this, I don't guess I can do anything? No, you don't do that. You got gifts. And all of our gifts in this place, this day and beyond, are needed in the kingdom of God. Every one of us here. And so God has so many riches and niches for you to fill in the church family. Don't ever sell yourself short here. I have shared with you over the years, a pastor, we went to a conference here back in last of September of last year. And it actually talked about, and he's talked a series of sermons about it, about Peter and Abraham and Sarah. You know, Peter was a big old brute. He's a fisherman. He probably smelled like fish, okay? He probably was. But Jesus called him. And he was always opening his mouth in certain foot. But who was Peter? And when he wound up, he actually wound up being one of the instrumental people of writing the New Testament. Paul's letters were not actually canonized till later on. Peter was foundation in what he was teaching there in his books and scripture in the New Testament there. And yet Peter continued to make mistakes. He would always open his mouth. He always messed up. I've always called it flub the dub. Y'all know what flub the dub is, right? He always messed up. And maybe you feel that way. Maybe you've opened your mouth and somehow you thought, man, I wish I hadn't said that. No, God's going to use it. Don't do that. If you need to ask you, Lord, forgive me, or whatever, and then move on. Don't stay there. But Peter always messed up, always. But look what happened. Peter was someone, he was on fire for Jesus there. He walked by faith. He believed. And a lot of what, obviously, is God used him through the scriptures and then the testimony to establish the New Testament church. Peter was important. But if you associate and kind of look at yourself like Peter, when you look at his life and so forth, you know, you think, how did he do that? Well, God has a way of using who he wants. He uses flawed people. Remember David? David committed adultery. And yet David was used by God. And in the New Testament, says he's a man after God's own heart. How was David a man's after own heart? Because he worshiped. He never gave up. And what he did was, when he did sin, he was quick to confess and repent. And that's the thing about you and I. In 1 John, it talks about, it said, don't say that you don't have sin. Because when you do that, you make God out to be a liar. He said, but when you do sin, confess your sins. And it says he'll be faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Okay, be quick, confess it, repent of it, and move on. The devil will say, you need to get back down there where you belong. But you get back up. And you keep on going. We're flawed people that God wants to use in his kingdom building today. And let me tell you, things are happening today across the body of Christ today. I want us to be prepared because he's getting people ready. And yes, it looks like it's happening amongst young people. Okay? I don't understand it. Boy, you guys got a testimony. Okay? You just know that, guys and gals. Okay? Y'all have got a testimony. Remember that. All our young people too. Okay, God's using them. I'm seeing it happen today. But we've got to be willing to risk and to step out. The weakest parts, really, it says here in the scriptures, are really the most necessary. The belly and its intestine or organs is covered up so they are not visible. But they're most important. The inside. You don't see it. But they're most important, and we need to understand that. A lady here recalls of a child. I came home from school one day crying because I had been given only a small part in the children's program, while my playmate got the leading role. After drying my tears, my mother took off her watch and put it in my hand. And she said, "What do you see?" she asked. "Well, a gold case, a face, and two hands." And I replied, opening the back. She repeated the question. I told her I saw many tiny wheels. "This watch would be useless," she said, "without every part, even the ones that you can hardly see." The ones that never get recognized. All of you are important in the body of Christ. When you're talking about trailblazing and setting, and even the next generation coming up, that's what we are doing. We're preparing the way. You know, John the Baptist said he was preparing the way for the Lord Jesus Christ. There are forerunners. We're forerunners for that. Yes, we experienced too the growth in our faith with Jesus, but we're forerunners for what God wants to do for that next generation. Praise God, He's doing something. He's doing things. Because it looks like to me a lot of what we see today, the negativity and the news and so forth, that obviously, man, all the next generation, they've gone over a cliff. It's not so. God's got a remnant, always has a remnant. And God will have His way, and He's going to do that. Don't be discouraged, but continue to grow in your faith and pass that faith down to those that are behind you. The more mature we become in Christ, the more we realize that throughout our entire life, we need each other more than ever. And I believe, obviously, that our church family, obviously, cannot make it without you. Okay? Can't make it without you. And sometimes when people leave a church, I don't think they understand the void that's there. A lot of times they pack up, they're gone, whatever, I don't like this church. I don't like the preachers preaching or whatever it may be. That could very well be, okay? I don't like that preacher. I don't like this. I don't like that and all that. And we go, and there's a void that takes place in that church. And we don't even realize it. And so because we're family today and we're connected in that bond today as a family, it's like somebody walking out on you. There's a grief that's there. When somebody's suffering, there's grief in our hearts because there's a connection. Those shut-ins that we have, it's because we are connected here. A certain mountain village in Europe several centuries ago, a nobleman wondered what legacy he would leave to the townspeople. At last, he decided to build them a church. No one saw the complete plans for the church until it was finished. And when the people gathered, they marveled at its beauty and completeness, the church. Then someone asked, "But where are the lamps? How will they be lighted?" The nobleman pointed to some brackets in the walls. And then he gave each family a lamp that they were to bring with them each time they came to worship. "Each time you're here, the area where you're seated will be lighted." They had their lamp, the nobleman said. "But each time that you're not here, that area will be dark." And this is to remind you that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark. Okay. There are people that can't come to church. We know that. But when we're able to come, it's very important. Some people say, "I can take or leave the body of Christ." Not really. Not in obviously live and receive and walk in those blessings that God has for us. Why? How do I know? Because the Word of God says so. Because in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some have, but continue to encourage one another as you see the day approaching." Don't forsake it. We need to encourage one another. You need to come to church. You need to hear words of affirmation and encouragement today. You don't need to hear words of condemnation. The Bible says, therefore, there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. We don't condemn people. We don't judge people. We love people. And we accept people the way they are. We've talked about it. If you feel like you're going to be judged, you feel like somehow that, hey, you know, I've blown it this past week and all that. And I mean, it may look like it all over my face and so forth. Well, this is the place to come. We can pray for you. We all blow it. We all obviously have tough days, tough weeks sometimes. And we come in the church house to be encouraged, to be lifted up so we can leave this place and go out into the marketplace the next day and beyond. God is saying how important it is. Let me use another analogy. It's like flying a kite. As we consider this activity, we may ask, well, who flew the kite? Well, I did, comes a reply from the wind. I did, shouts the paper. I did, exclaims the tail. I did, says the string. I did, boasts the boy. But in reality, they all flew the kite. If the wind had lulled, if the paper had torn, if the tail had gotten caught in a tree, and if the string had broken or the boy had fallen, then the kite would not have come down. Each had a part to play. Every part. All of you, from the youngest here to the eldest, every part. We're not. I don't see retirement in anything in the Bible. Y'all seen anything about retirement in the Bible? Right? I know somehow we think, well, we're going to retire. We can't. I know when we're not able to physically do it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing that at all. But, you know, God's called us today to build His kingdom. He's got something for you and me. He looks at our chronological age anyway, different than we do. God is saying today, if you're able to do it, get out and do it. And obviously, God will have His way in your life here. No division here. He's saying here, no division. We obviously need to see people the way God sees people. And God is saying here that we need to have anxious concern for our church family members. Listen to this. Vince Lombardi, so those of you who are my age, I remember Vince Lombardi, once told his team this. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to care for each other. You've got to love each other. And each player has to be thinking about the next guy and saying to himself, if I don't block that man, then that person is going to get their legs broken. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his. The difference between mediocrity and greatness, Lombardi said that night, is the feeling these guys have for one another. You know what makes the church great? It's not that every pew is filled. It's whether or not we are operating the way God wants, and we're loving one another, that we obviously have compassion for one another, and we are right there with them and so forth. We all have different ideas. We all have different quirks, but God is saying today, I got you right where I want you to be. We're not here by accident. We didn't show up over here off of 3rd Street. We're here because God has something for you. He's got a word for you to begin with. He's got a word to encourage you today. So if you feel like you're not being used in the body of Christ, or maybe in one way or another, you're searching and saying, Lord, what do you have for me? Keep on asking. He'll show you because he wants to use you. Why? It's because he knows that, as I said earlier, he'll turn you every which way but loose. It will be exciting life. It will build you up in the faith. You'll walk and things will change. Your life will change. I've always told the story. I was in a restaurant on the west side of town a brother in Christ, we were going to meet and have lunch together. And I was sitting there in the chair there. It was comfortable. I was in my comfort zone. And two ladies came in. They were over there talking. And the Lord spoke to me and said, go over there. And I've got something to say to that lady. And I went, what? They don't know. I don't know them. I don't know who they are. And so I don't want to stir. I began to, has anybody here ever tried to argue with God? You lose every time. Every time I argue with God, I lose, okay? And so do you. And I kept sitting there, and I was talking, Lord, I don't know. Are you going to speak? Is this you, Lord? I mean, come on, I had a thought and all that. And so these things have happened at various times in our lives. And so finally I said, I better go ahead and get up. And I got up and went over there, and I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. The two men, two ladies, and I said, I'm sitting over there, and I feel like that maybe the Lord has a word for you. And they both looked, didn't say, you need to go sit back down, okay? And they both listened. I said, and I began to share what I felt like the Lord was saying. One, in essence, what it was. And I was basically said, the Lord is seeing what you're going through right now. And you're going through a hard time. But I want to tell you, God is about ready to bring a breakthrough for you. There's an answer to prayer that y'all have been praying for. It's very critical and it's very crucial for you and your family today. And I went on, shared with what I felt like the Lord was saying. And as I was talking to the lady, she began to cry. And I thought, oh, I don't know what's going on. None of my business. I share. And what God, I believe God told me to say. Okay. And so they said, thank you for sharing that with us. And I sat down. And a little bit later, I was going up to get another cup of coffee, and laid the one that was, that teared up. She came to me and she said, you don't know what you said. And you don't know what I'm going through. But she began to share with me a little bit of what she was going through. And she said, when you spoke, I knew that God cared and loved me, and that he knew what I was going through, and that God was going to take care of it. And she said, you don't know how encouraging that was, that you said what you said and how you allow God to use you with that. And I said, well, praise and thank the Lord for that. See, we have no idea. People today need the Lord. People today need to hear. You and I, we're here. You're saved. You have the Spirit. God wants to use you and use me. I was in South America, in Ecuador, Quito. And I was sitting there with the family that I visit down there at times. And they speak both Spanish and English. I just speak English. Or I don't even really speak English because I'm still learning. But I felt the guy, man, was sitting over there. And the Lord said, you need to go over there and speak to the man. I said, Lord, I don't know Spanish. Get up, go over there and talk to him. So I called the pastor's daughter, who's bilingual, and I said, I think the Lord wants to share something with a man sitting right over there. She said, okay. So we got up, and I went over there. And she told him in Spanish that I had come over there and wanted to say something that God had a word for him and want to encourage him and all. Didn't know him from Adam. It was in a mall, sitting in a chair in a mall. And I went over, and she began, I shared, and then she translated into Spanish. And the man began to, he looked at me, and he was touching. He was touched by the Spirit of God. And when I finished what it was and all that, he looked at me, and he said, thank you so much. It was exactly what I needed. And then when he left, he got up, he came to me, and he said, thank you so much for sharing that. I am now encouraged. I now know I can go through what I'm going through. See, we have no idea. See, you don't have necessarily that, and you're not a preacher in that. We're all preachers, really. We are, really, all of us. But the issue is, in the sense, is that we need to be obedient. God blesses obedience. Obedience is actually better than sacrifice, according to the Word of God. Okay? So when you're obedient, you step out of your comfort zone, the anointing falls upon you. And let me tell you, it just blesses your life because something happens and you're starting to be used in the kingdom of God. We're not here to fill pews, although it's great we come together and we grow in the Lord. We're here, out here, when you go, you guys again and gals, y'all are in places I don't go and all. You're seeing many more people than I'm seeing, and all of us together can make a difference today. But you got to get out. Once you step out and begin to share, it don't make any difference. Share. Let me tell you, sometimes I think, well, maybe I've messed it up. I've never had anybody tell me, Jim, you need to be quiet. I don't want to hear that. I've never had anybody to say that. And I've never, when I've witnessed for Jesus Christ, when I was with hospice and the homes I got in, and somehow in those institutions that are governed by governmental authorities and regulations and all that stuff, I've never had anybody tell me, I don't want to hear any more of that stuff. When you start talking about Jesus, something happens because you're obedient and God begins to open doors for you and me. But you got to do it. You step out. You know, you don't worry about what they're going to say or how they're going to respond. We're not responsible for their salvation anyway. We're planting seeds. We're throwing seeds everywhere, just like we throw fertilizer now during this time of year to get the grass to come back. We're just throwing it out there, slinging them out there. And God takes and waters it, and he makes it grow. Hallelujah. That's our God. But he's got to use the body of Christ. If you aren't making yourself useful to God, then you'll obviously, I believe, it's kind of like the apathy spiritually. You kind of dry up. Got to get out. You got to do something. Do something for the Lord. And when everything's working the way that it is, the exciting thing about it when we've come together, and I've told y'all today, yes, it's Lighthouse Fellowship, yes, okay, but it's the body of Christ. And so when I say save, savage, and all that, I don't want any distinction there. Because we're the body of Christ. And sometimes when I say that, I get a check, okay? Nothing wrong with that. And yes, there is that distinction. The saved savage is coming. But we are all one at the body of Christ today. We are one today because we're unified. And when we, obviously, I've shared about Psalm 133, the unity that's there. God commands His blessing. When we eat, I've always told you, when we have fellowship back here, I mean, it's kind of like, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. And I'm going, Lord, what the bond of love. This is happening today. My brothers and sisters, everybody's eating together. I don't know what it is about eating together. Do y'all? I should love to eat. Okay. But it's something about it. And I'm going, this is a blessing. And I thought about it. Psalm 133 talks about it. He said, when brothers dwelling together in unity, that's where God commands His blessing. And when God commands something, it's going to take place. That's what happens. So He says, no divisions. You know, I somehow in my whole thing, you know, and all that stuff, if there's an issue, come and talk about it. Come and begin to share about it. Get it out in the light. We can work through it. Nothing that's not obvious. Everything's important, but we need to know how important it is to be able to stay together as one. People, obviously, need to know. They're doing a good job. Let me just say this about everybody. And I mentioned it earlier too, but I want to say it again. And I'm going to speak just to Save Savage here today to everybody. But we'll go down. Save Savage, y'all are doing a good job. Y'all are doing a good job. I'm not just saying it. I'm not placating you here. But y'all are doing a good job. Y'all are stepping out. And y'all are doing great things for the Lord. Y'all are doing great things for the Lord. And you're doing them more than just at the time on Sunday afternoon, too, when you come here. You're doing it out in the marketplace. Why? Because I know you. I know who you are. And I know your desire is to make Jesus glorified, okay? And I mentioned here, too, the different ministries here. The worship team that comes with Kathy, Don, and Casey that we've got. They're here, okay? I mentioned they're doing a great job. They're doing a great job. And then also the booth here, back here. And I mentioned Daniel and Ed. And Lynette and Michael, too, and others who are back there. I noted the Sunday school teaching. Nancy's doing a great job. She's doing a great job here today with all of that. Janet and the food pantry with all the ladies that come in here week after week after week at 10 o'clock on Thursday and helping many, many families. And Janet gave a report of how many people that they served last year. And it's like staggering, the number of people. And it will continue on because that's what we're called to do. Jesus said, go, feed the poor, help people, pray with them. They minister to people, not just in the physical, but also in the spiritual and emotional. People today, this place, you're doing a great job. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. Because somehow, maybe somebody else you see, maybe more, a little bit more in the limelight and so forth, that doesn't make any difference. You're doing a great job in where God has placed you today. Or why I know that, because I know you, and I know you wouldn't be here otherwise, okay? You would not come here. And the reason I know that too is that God has brought you here again. And you wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God doing something in your life and wanting to grow you in your faith and your walk with Jesus Christ and a depth of intimacy today. That's who our God is. We need to consider. And anybody else I've overlooked, everybody's important in this place. Because as I said earlier, it's the ministry of the laity. It's a ministry of each and every one of you praying for one another, looking at people and seeing them the way Jesus did, and then praying for them if need be, going over, encouraging them, smiling at them, whatever it may be. The church house should act completely different than the world. The world will obviously chew you up and spit you out. The church house is a place where we can get revived. We can get awakened to the presence of the Lord. We can get, obviously, built up and strengthened in the might and power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the church house is all about. You got to know you're more valuable than you would ever realize. In today's worship service, there were again many contributors. It was a concert with many instruments. We opened with prayer, we sang, message, we testified about that. We've got offering plates back here. It was a concert with every one of us got to play a part, every person. And every part of every person played a role in this. The Holy Spirit is the conductor. Message He wanted to communicate is that we are interconnected. Amen. And invaluable to one another. God's purposes on this earth and eternity. When we play your part, the concert is heard all around the world. Amen. When we come together, I believe something's happening in heaven. Okay? I believe that we are being prepared to worship like we will in heaven. How many of you believe that? Raise your hand. Okay? Right? We're being prepared. We're being prepared. This is not just some isolated case we're coming over here on Sunday morning or whatever. This is obviously God preparing us to worship as we worship in heaven. And I have a handout. I always have a handout. Would you help me? There you go. Everybody gets one. Thank you. I hope I have enough. Thank y'all for coming in. What's heaven going to look like when we worship in heaven? Y'all ever thought about that? Everybody anticipating. If I don't, I've got some more in there that I can make sure and give out. Thank y'all for passing out. Worship in heaven is going to be like we could never imagine. Okay? Isn't it glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price to where we know that He's paved the way for us to be in heaven with Him forever, and we will worship the King. Well, we will worship every day, but we know we'll have jobs, we'll have places, we'll have responsibilities. And the only issue is, you and God, we get tired here. How many of you are tired because we lost an hour sleep last night? Raise your hand. Okay. I told Cindy last night, we were sitting there, and I looked, and it dawned on me again. And I said, do you know it's right now it's 10 o'clock? Well, we were going as if it was 9. And Cindy said, oh, my goodness, we got to get going here. It's 10 o'clock, really, in reality, because it changed it at 2 o'clock. But I might as well change mine early, okay, and all that. And I thought, dang. So when 5:30 came this morning and I got up and all that stuff, I'm thinking, why am I really kind of lagging a little bit here? It's because I didn't get enough sleep, okay, right? But God brought us in. And the reason I said that is because when we're in heaven and we're working for the Lord and we are worshiping the King, we will not get tired. Because why? We won't have these old bodies. We're going to get new bodies. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes back, we'll get a resurrected body. Hallelujah. Everybody want to look, obviously, spiffy. Everybody here, right? Okay. I'm not the most handsome dude, okay, right? But when I get to heaven, I think I am going to be, right? Don't y'all? We bonita, see, right? but we're going to obviously get new bodies. We'll never get tired. We'll work and serve the Lord. We'll worship Him forever. Now, in this handout, you'll look and see, and it tells, what will heaven be like when we worship the King? What is it going to be like? It's going to be great. And that last part, that can I use your second? At the very end, it says this, and I wanted to just mention here. You can look at it, kind of like what we can look at it Scripture and say, what will heaven, the worship in heaven, be like? And if you look right at the end, so how can we get into worship shape for your eternal home one day? It says, start living in awe of His worship and seeing every moment of each day as an opportunity to praise Him for who He is and thank Him for all He's done. It will prepare you for a lifetime of doing the same. Thanking Him, praising Him. Something about gratitude that, thank you, that will obviously change your life. Thanking Him. What are we going to do in heaven? We're going to worship, we're going to thank Him, right? When we see the fullness of salvation, we've experienced that. When we got, you'll go, oh my gosh. We sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. And we know that. We've seen God has revealed our sin to our hearts. And we've said, Lord, there's no way out. I need a Savior. And you see Him and you see the blood of Christ. And that blood of Christ covers you. And you realize you've been adopted into the family. Romans chapter 8 talks about it. We've been engrafted into the vine. We've been adopted today. We're children of the God. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Okay? Name is Jesus. But when you get to heaven, I believe He'll just show you. You know what I did for you? Lord, I thanked you and praised you. I did you as I walk with you each and every day. But then He'll go, He opens our eyes, I believe, and He will see it and we'll go, wow, I had no idea what an indescribable gift that Jesus Christ is for each one of us. We will see Him as He is. And God says today, we need to operate that way right now. Don't wait. Let Him know that you love Him. Same. And you know, sometimes if I'm walking around, I say, I love you, Lord. I love you. I praise you. You know, and it could be that obviously I'm way off, I'm wayward, and here I am, I'm on the wrong, whatever. Just, I love you, Lord. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for coming and saving me. You didn't have to. He laid His life down voluntarily. No man took His life from me, He said. And I know that, and you know that. So as we approach Easter and the resurrection, how important it is to understand the resurrection and Him rising on the third day, fulfilling the prophetic words of the Old Testament. Everything was fulfilled in Him. Everything. Obviously, we're not under the law anymore because you can't keep the law. There were 613 laws or rules and regulations in the Ten Commandments. You can't keep them. He said, if you've obviously broken one, you've broken them all. Jesus came in the fulfillment. He said, I didn't come to obviously abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. We can't do it because each one of us saw the law and we realized, man, I am a sinner. I can't do it and I can't save myself. And what did you do? You shifted and said, but Jesus can. Right there. Aren't you glad today that you're saved by His amazing grace and that He loves you and He'll never stop loving you no matter what you do? No matter what, where you are, He'll never stop. And that day when you come, that time when you get to where the last few moments of life, that you'll be able to say, Jesus, I just want to be with you. That's all I desire. All of us today are part of the body of Christ. And all of us can be used to our fullest potential that will obviously, as we step out in faith, Peter got out of the boat, right? You know, I know the disciples were behind him, probably pushing him, saying, you go, okay, right? Wouldn't you be sitting there by the boat? Would you be Peter to get out? Or would you be one of the other disciples standing back and say, Peter, you step out first, and if you do it, I'll come behind you, right? Peter got out, right? He got out. You see, we're all Peters. We're all Peters, and we all obviously need to get out of the boat, and we need to obviously step out, and we want to test to see, can you walk on the water? Well, Peter actually walked on the water. This is not mythology. This actually happened, okay? It's written in the Word of God. Word of God is inerrant and infallible. It's true. And so he got out and walked on. The disciples say, hey, he's doing pretty good. They're looking at him, and all of a sudden, Peter goes down. Here he goes, because he began to look at all the circumstances around him. And Jesus went over, and he picked him back up. He didn't let him drown. He picked him back up. But Peter had enough faith to get out of the boat and say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Every day, if you think about it, we're getting out of the boat and saying, Lord, I'm coming to you. It's a matter of getting out of the boat. Are you going to risk? You're going to say, Lord, Jim's talking about I got gifts. I believe the Word of God is very clear. We read it, okay? But man, I'm a little bit hesitant about getting out of the boat. Get out of the boat. Don't stay there in your comfort zone. Let other people know where you stand. Put your flag up in the marketplace. I'm a Christian. Don't be obnoxious or you know, rude. But I'm saying, let people know. You see, what happens today is Christians pull back. And we've got a culture today that's going in the opposite direction today. And you and I have the truth from the Word of God. And unless we step out and tell others the truth, we don't have to beat anybody over the head with it. And again, we don't act obnoxious or rude, but we stand. I'm a Christian. Let me tell you about Jesus. You getting out of the boat? Jesus is good. when you get out of the boat. He's good all the time. He never changes. But you begin to see who he is. You realize he obviously will not let you drown. He will bring you up and set you, and he will bless you because you obviously stepped out of the boat. Everybody believe it? All right, what I want to do is pray for every one of you because you've got gifts. I want God to release words of knowledge in you, get the prophecy through you. We've got people here that are actually operating prophetic gifts, also words of knowledge. All of you can do that, okay? The gifts of the Spirit for everybody. Remember, the gifts of the of the Spirit are actually relative to the situation you're in. If you need the gifts of healings, you can lay hands upon the sick. You see there in Isaiah 53, by his stripes you were healed. Everything in that scripture, as you look even above, was that it was a total package. You're healed physically, spiritually, and emotionally. You say, but not everybody's healed. I don't know. I realize that. Not on this side anyway. As a Christian, you'll be ultimately healed. But God will heal on this side. Pray for them. We're seeing healings take place. I'm seeing people get healed. And God is doing great things. But we've got to get out, lay hands on the sick, it says. To obviously cast out devils, cast out demons, preach the gospel, and believe God for great and mighty things. I'm going to pray for you if you bow your heads. I want to ask God to release his Spirit in you, that he would baptize you with the Holy Spirit, and he would release his gifts in each one of you to be used. If y'all want prayer afterwards, you can come forward and we'll lay hands on you and pray for you. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask you that you would just release your gifts here. Holy Spirit, they're your gifts. They're Spirit's gifts. Release these gifts in every person, whether it be gift of prophetic words or words of knowledge, words of wisdom, the gifts of healings, the gift of tongues, interpretation of tongues, the gift of encouragement. All of your gifts, gift of certainly hospitality, serving, service, all these things are valid for today. I ask you, Lord, today to release those gifts in this congregation, every person here, to be used of you. In your name, Father, in your name, to bring glory to you, not to bring glory to us, to be looked at us, see what I've got, but realize it comes from you. Know that God is doing this in your life and give him praise and step out. Begin to ask for these things. Much of what happens in the kingdom of God is by asking. I just ask you, Lord, open your heart and let him pour out his Spirit upon you. All of God's people, open your heart and receive. Thank you, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to seal these gifts. Their gifts. And Father, give us courage to step out. You're doing great things. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here. Because you're here. Every person here, I pray, it this be an explosion spiritually in every person's life that's here. Pray, Father, you anoint Safe Savage. They go to their destiny, their place today to minister. Pray you anoint and speak through them. Pray you bless the food that we're getting ready to eat, fellowship, love. Thank you, Father. Use us for your glory and for your honor. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One thing I heard this that I want to bring back to mind is when we come to the service, obviously we're serving the Lord and we're worshiping the King, okay? And not, this is not taken away from that. But ask God to bless you before you come. Ask God to bless you. That's not being selfish. God wants to bless you. And there's nothing wrong with us asking you to bless you. I ask God, bless me, Lord. I bless you. I don't bless you. We can bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul, with all within me. Bless his holy name, okay? But we know we want to be blessed too. And God wants to bless you more than you wanting to bless yourself because we've been taught certain things about, obviously, well, you can't ask this, you can't that. No, he's our Father. Abba, Father. Ask him to heal you if you need healing, whatever it may be. Our Father, we run to our Father. Release your gifts, Father. I want to be used. I don't know what would be in a restaurant and I have to walk over and say whatever it may be. It may not be that. Whatever God says, just be obedient. Amen. Everybody got it. Thank you for your attention. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, your truth. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing in this congregation, Lord. Thank you, Lord, today. You are blessing us in a mighty way. Pray every heart here would be attuned to you during this day and then all of next week and beyond, all their lifetime. We thank you, Father, for your love through Jesus Christ. Speak, Lord, as we leave. We would need to hear you. Every day, we want to commune with you, commune with your Spirit. And Father, today, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All of God's people said, Amen. Amen.